You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yo. Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. And we're recording Wednesday, October 13th. My handicap and hype man and gambling consigliere is here in Zoom with me, Eston McLaren. And me and him are going to break down NFL Week 6. We got a full slate to cover. All, I think, 14 games since we got four teams on a bye. But, announcement. A bit of a bittersweet announcement. It's actually the co-host, Eston McLaren's final episode here at Bet Slippin' Podcast. We're parting ways. Well, more him than me. He's going on to a different company, and I'll let him briefly mention that or talk about it or say his goodbyes. He can say however, fill you guys in however he wants, but let me turn it over to him for a quick second. Eston, what's up, brother?
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the kind words as always, and for the update. Yeah, it's been in a great 2+ years, almost 3 years of sportsbookwire.com, and to into our second year of Bet Slippin' Podcast. But yeah, I'm moving on after this week, leaving the podcast in good hands. So it's easy to sleep easy knowing that they're coming for you anyway, Jeff. So yeah, they still get the main attraction.
Well, they might come for me to a certain extent, but then they're going to stay for your winners. I know you've been killing it. You've killed it over the years at golf, hockey, and I think you outproduced me in football last year. We're pretty much neck and neck this year. So you make me sharper. I'm going to miss you, buddy. But, you know, to all the listeners who want to continue to follow Eston and all of his handicapping, gambling, or sports takes, be sure to follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle? It's at Eston McLaren, right? Your name?
At Eston McLaren, E-S-T-E-N McLaren. Toss me a follow if you'd like. Lots of good golf content still to come. So that's the main attraction.
So you're going to have to leave Tim Schmidt's contact information. You're a connect with him, and he's not going to come back if I can't get a hold of him. Also, I'm going to have to lie to him and tell him that you're coming back to the episodes, because I don't think he's going to want to just talk to me.
Hey, I think the three of us each have one major winner since last fall. So 3 out of 6 on Bet Slippin' Podcast isn't too bad at all.
Right on. All right, well, I'm going to get sappy and emotional here. So instead of doing that, let's just talk about the NFL Week 6 and get into the handicapping, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Can we pay some bills? This is the last time you're going to pay any of the bills for us, too. Should we do that now, or do you want to save that in between the 1 and 4 o'clock slate?
We'll give them 2 for the final episode. That would be my parting gift. To Tipico Sportsbook, a global sports betting leader, is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. Ages 21 and up. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. And now into the Week 6 slate. As you said off the get-go, 4 teams on bye. Those are the Atlanta Falcons, New York Jets, thankfully, as well as the New Orleans Saints and San Francisco 49ers. So we got 14 games here, but that just means we can go a little deeper on a couple of them, as I know you're raring to do. This one, first one, Thursday Night Football, we probably don't need to go too deep. 8:20 p.m. kickoff Thursday. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting at 4-1 visit the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 2-3. The Bucs are -290 road favorites, Eagles +230 home dogs. They're being given 6.5 points with -105 odds. The Bucks are laying 6.5 at -115. Over under of 52.5 here. Over -108. Under -112. A little bit of juice on the under. Jeff, Eagles got back on track. They have two wins, bookending a three-game losing streak in the middle there. Do we believe in them after handing a good Carolina Panthers team their second straight loss?
I lean to the Eagles 6.5 here, Essen. I'm not going to take it to the window with me. Actually, how I got down on this personally is that I teased the Buccaneers down to a 0.5 point, so they just got to win. And I'm going to take the Eagles before the kickoff. I'm hoping it gets up to 7 or 7.5. There's just news that the right tackle of Philadelphia, Lane Johnson, who I think is a multiple-time Pro Bowler, will be out Thursday due to a personal matter. So that'll definitely help the pass rush at Tampa Bay. But like the biggest factor for me in this one is it's actually like the age of Tampa Bay, their roster, and Tom Brady. So Tampa Bay is 3-3 straight up, but they're 0-6 against the spread in primetime games since the beginning of last season. This is a narrative that I heard a lot towards the end of last year and a little bit this year. But it's talking about old-ass Tom Brady and his bedtime. Tampa Bay's only scored 25 points in one of those six games, so they come in a little like spotty or sketchy on the offensive side of the week. They are an older roster. They're relying on Richard Sherman in the back end, and they have some wily veterans on the line with JPP and Shaq Barrett. But they're on a short week, and they're dealing with a bunch of injuries, so I don't think the short week is going to help that old roster. Plus, both teams play at a top four neutral situation pace. So Tampa Bay's defense is going to have to be locked in, you know, especially because they get everyone's best shot being the defending title champions. Philly's got a plus 1.1 yards per play differential, and they've played some good teams. They played the Chiefs, they played the Niners, they played the Cowboys. They actually haven't given up more than 271 passing yards in any game this season. And there are strength-on-strength matchups, so it's not like Philly's completely outmatched in this game. Obviously, at the quarterback position they are, but they have a really good pass defense. Tampa Bay's got one of the best passing attacks. Tampa Bay's got an amazing rushing defense, probably the best in the league. Philly's got a pretty versatile ground game. So both teams are good in the trenches. I don't see 6.5 points of difference. I see more value on the home team in the short week. So I lean to the Eagles. What say you?
Yeah, I think 7.5 would be my buy point here. 6.5 just seems too fair. This could certainly be a touchdown game. As you said, going back to last season, yeah, Tom Brady did struggle in primetime spots last year, but then went on to win the Super Bowl, which is the biggest primetime spot you can get. So I don't know. I also don't see them really getting up to play the Eagles on Thursday night. Obviously, the difference maker there. Philly, yeah, they look good against, as I said, a good Carolina Panthers team, 21-18 win last week. But then the Bucs absolutely throttled another bad team, the Miami Dolphins, last week with a 45-17 win coming off their narrow victory over the New England Patriots. So this Buccaneers team, much like they were for a large part of last regular season, is just too difficult to read. A lot of motivation factors for them kind of fluctuate onto, you know, just how badly they want to run up the score. You know, a lot of, you know, as much younger as that Eagles team is, there are still a lot of veteran leaders there on both sides of the ball who, you know, they're not going to want to get boat raced at home on Thursday Night Football. So yeah, I would get Eagles at +7.5, whether it be an alternate line or close to 8:20 on Thursday, but 6.5 is a pass for me.
Yeah, I like the fact that they have veterans on both trenches, because that's where Tampa Bay usually like separates themselves from the other player or the other teams. They obviously have great skill position players, but like, you know, you have, again, strength on strength, the defensive lines versus the offensive lines. And I like that the Eagles are young at the skill position, the skill positions, because it's just going to be like, I just get the vibe that Tampa Bay is going to be slightly thrown off by like how hard Philly's playing and how much they're going to want to win this game. And it's going to be like towards the start of the second half, Tampa Bay is like, let's just get out of here with a win. Like, this is going to be a hard fought game. But I also am worried about like overreacting to Philly's week five road cover at Carolina, you know, so that's why it's only a lean.
Yeah, works for me. Moving on to Sunday morning, another 9:30 a.m. Eastern time kickoff from London, England. The Miami Dolphins at 1-4 are technically the road team against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who sit at 0-5. Dolphins, as we said, the 45-17 road loss of the Bucs last week. The Jaguars, 37-19 home loss to the Tennessee Titans, an injury-riddled Tennessee Titans squad. A lot of people on the Jags, including you, Jeff. Are you going to go back to that well with the Dolphins priced here at Typical Sportsbook as minus 180 favorites, Jaguars plus 145, home dogs in London plus 3.5 points, minus 117, minus 3.5, minus 103 for the Dolphins, 47.5 point total, minus 108 on the over, minus 112 on the under. Are you giving Urban Meyer any more chances here? You've been standing by him through five games, five ugly games.
Standing
Jaguars by cover 3.5.
Do you think they cover?
I do not. I have no hope in that football team.
All right, so I just kind of cut you off. I was confused if you were making it a question or you were making it a statement. Jaguars plus 3.5.
Everything about them is a question rather than a statement, probably. But my statement would be Dolphins minus 3.5.
Touche. So, like, I'm not selling my standing by Urban Meyer is really the worst way to put it. Let me clean that up for a second. I'm not selling Urban Meyer coaching stock until the third year, or obviously if he just completely just quits. Although I would love for him to go to USC as a Southern California resident. But, I mean, the way that you phrased it, I kind of want to go back to the well and take the Jaguars, because I feel like those are granted, it's only 50%, but those are bets that I usually win. Is like when I was a week quick on a team, and then like if I were to like just follow my gut again or back them again, I'll make the money back. But I can only lean to them in this spot. I think the quarterback battle is even. Jacoby Brissett isn't much of a downgrade to Tua, at least the Tua that we've seen. Having him back in, you know, that provides a much bigger, higher ceiling for Miami's offense, but he has rust to get off, to knock off, and I don't know. We haven't seen much out of Tua right now, so his him adding more to the offense is only theoretical. Jacksonville's got a higher differential in EPA, yards per play, pressure rate, third down rate, red zone rate, scoring rate. So, like on paper, it feels like the Jags could cover this number. It's just like they keep getting their brains beat in, with the exception of the one Thursday night game against the Bengals. I mean, Miami's defense looks really bad. People pegged him as a regression candidate because they thrived off of creating turnovers, and they're not doing as good of a job this year. So the defense has regressed a little bit. They are getting gashed, and Jacksonville has the opportunity to run on that defense. The rush defense is the weaker side of that Miami defense, and Jacksonville's running game is like legit. But I couldn't lay it. And I'm not going to take the points either. So,
yeah, that's probably the best move. It's a lean to the Dolphins for me, just because this continues to be a Jaguars fade until, you know, I'm willing to lose on them when they finally get it together, which I'm not too worried about happening. So, you know, the London game, Urban Meyer's first year as NFL head coach, you factor in that trip, Brian Flores at least has some more NFL experience. Dolphins obviously didn't play there last year, so you know this is probably his first trip as well. But
so, like, the question I'm
going to go with the more, yeah.
The question I have for you is: on paper, like these rosters, how much better is the Dolphins than the Jaguars? Because, like, to me, the whole pricing, 95% of the pricing, it's just the coaching mismatch, right? So I agree with the price, but like that's all coaching. What do you think though?
Yeah, I'd still give the Dolphins a defensive advantage, more than an edge even. The turnover numbers were inflated last week and obviously turning out to be quite fluky, but you know, it's still a lot of the same personnel there. It's still very talented personnel. The Jags have some good pieces on defense, but I don't know if they have a singularly good unit on the defensive side. The trade of CJ Henderson hurts as well. I mean, as much as he was under delivering, you know, they don't really have someone stepping into that spot. I don't know. I'm willing to lose on the Jaguars the week they get it together. I'm not going to keep betting on it to happen. I was high on them coming into the year. I'm awfully disappointed through 5 weeks.
Well, the best part about losing or winning on this game is that you'll have 11 other games following that to make the money back. Because, hey, it's exactly. A London game.
Yeah, and nice and early start, too. So, yeah, you get to start feeling bad real early on a Sunday morning, just like you want. The Minnesota Vikings, 2-3, visit the Carolina Panthers at 3-2, 1 p.m. kickoff Sunday. The Vikes come off a 19-17 last-second field goal win at home over the Detroit Lions. Carolina Panthers come off that 21-18 home loss to the Eagles. The Vikings are -120 road favorites, Panthers +100. The Panthers are getting 1.5 points, -110, -1.5, -110 for the Vikes, and a moderate conservative point total here of 45.5 points, -115 for the over, -105 for the under. Vikes are 2-3 against the spread, 2-3 over under. Panthers are 3-2 against the spread, 1-4 over under. Panther, I was starting to get real in on the Panthers, peg them up for that loss to the Cowboys. Last week's loss was pretty disappointing. Whereas the Vikings, they needed a last second miracle field goal to beat a bad Detroit Lions team with a replacement level offensive line. I guess the Panthers bounce back here, this being at home. You have a strong reason to take Minnesota.
Yeah, I actually really like Minnesota here. It's going to go to the window with me or my final bet slip. Sam Darnold just feels like a more mobile, younger Kirk Cousins, in my opinion. They're both untrusty quarterbacks who kind of get happy feet in the pocket and commit stupid turnovers. Again, Darnold's more athletic, but Kirk Cousins has more arm talent and better weapons to work with. I think Dalvin Cook is going to come back. Him and Christian McCaffrey are both kind of on the same injury timeline. I think he's maybe a little further along. So there's a better chance we see Dalvin Cook and not CMC. But, like, I just feel like these teams have the same DNA, but Minnesota is just more efficient. They have a higher offensive EPA, higher offensive yards per play, third down rate, conversion rate, red zone scoring rate. It's all higher than Carolina's. Each team's defense is their best unit. But to me, like, Minnesota's defense feels more legitimate. Carolina, they've played the fifth easiest schedule of opposing offenses, according to Football Outsiders, and Minnesota's played the fourth toughest schedule of opposing offenses. Carolina's ops include Jets, Saints, who I don't know what we get from their offense week in, week out. Texans with Davis Mills, I think making his first career start. Cowboys, who they were absolutely crushed by that defense, and Philly, who they did lose to. Their defense wasn't really the reason for it. And Minnesota's oppositions conclude Bengals, who got Joe Burrow, and he looks like the real deal, at the Bengals as well, at the Cardinals, and we, I think, are full agreement of how real they look. Seahawks, who, you know, got Russell Wilson, a bunch of weapons, Browns, and Lions, who they held to 17 points, so the defense showed up there, and I just think their defensive line is going to bully Carolina's offensive line. So I like the Vikings money line, and I'll play the spread in the contest as well. But it's going to the window as a money line bet for me.
Okay. It's Vikings -120 at Tipico Sportsbook. Yeah, that's a stronger read on this one. I do like the Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins comparison, although athletic Kirk Cousins is – not much of a compliment, really, especially for a former high draft pick. I think I still lean to Carolina, this being at home. No Stephon Gilmore still. That would be a problem, especially against Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Panthers on a small, unconfident mean for me. Stronger feelings here. Los Angeles Rams at 4-1 visit the 1-4 New York Giants for another 1 p.m. ET kickoff. The Rams coming off a 26-17 Thursday night football win over the Seattle Seahawks on the road. So they have a much needed rest advantage against the Giants team that lost 44-20 to the Dallas Cowboys on the road last week. The Rams are then rightfully -520 moneyline favorites. The Giants are +370 home underdogs, -10.5 points for the Rams at even money +100. The Giants +10.5 points, -120, and a total of 48.5 points, mostly being expected to be built up by the Rams, -105 on the over, -115 on the under, with New York not expected to contribute much. Rams -10.5, pretty firmly for me. They don't need this rest advantage. It's a Giants team with, you know, Daniel Jones probably going to play, not going to be 100%. Saquon Barkley almost certainly not going to play. And Kenny Golladay is still hurt, if not for sure out. Darius Slayton as well banged up. That's a Giants team that, you know, at full health, their best hope for this year was, you know, to look okay. They didn't do that when healthy, and now they've got all these injuries to overcome. And this is a Rams team, you know, still not in first in the NFC West, and that's going to be their main goal for a few weeks until they get back there, is to reclaim that top seed. And this is a prime spot to do it. And I, you know, we've seen from them this year, they don't have a problem just laying it to these inferior teams.
Yeah. I mean, I have almost no pushback here. You know, the Giants injuries make them unbettable, a complete stay away. Kenny Galladay and Saquon Barkley are both listed as doubtful. Daniel Jones, like you said, had a concussion, exited the game early with a concussion. I really loved how Kadarius Toney looked. I mean, who would say otherwise, but like, no Andrew Thomas there, our first pick in last year's draft, our left tackle, is huge. Like, absolutely huge, especially when you're dealing with a defensive line that has Aaron Donald on it. Like, Andrew Thomas, people aren't really talking about him. I mean, who talks about left tackles? But, like, he's been one of the best left tackles in the league through the first four games or five games. So his presence, if they're missing him, it's going to be huge. And, you know, Rams have covered 5 of the 7 games that they've been road favorites of a TD or more since McVay was hired. They're 7-0 straight up. So, I mean, who can really punch the tickets on their slip, or punch the Giants on their bed slip if they're this injured? So I'm staying away because I'm a Giants fan, but it looks bad. It looks real bad.
Rams -10.5 for me. Good. Onto a much tougher one to pick sides on here. The Los Angeles Chargers, a 4-1 visit the 4-1 Baltimore Ravens, who looked fantastic in another come from behind win last week on Monday Night Football, 31-25 over the Indianapolis Colts in overtime. Lamar Jackson, very good passing performance. Can't say anything else. The Los Angeles Chargers, very good performance by the offense and a 47-42 home win over the Cleveland Browns. Defense didn't do a whole lot there, but Justin Herbert, an early MVP candidate after winning Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. The Chargers are +125 road underdogs, the Ravens -155 home favorites, -2.5 points, -130 odds, +2.5 points for the Chargers at +105, 52.5 point total, -110 on either side of it. The both teams right in the thick of the Super Bowl futures race as well, +1,500 for the Chargers, +1,200 for the Ravens. Both teams have moved up a little bit from the preseason odds, and both look fantastic. And Jeff, you can take the lead on here. I don't have much of a lean coming in.
Yeah, I like the Ravens. I'm going to put it on my bet slip. I mean, my initial take when I saw this line was like, oh, shit, Chargers getting 3? I mean, I think that's where immediately everyone's eyeballs gravitate towards, because they played probably one of the better, more exciting regular season games of the year thus far against the Browns. Like, what an awesome game, right? I mean, that was, you watched it, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, watched all that one. And yeah, especially after, you know, how these last two Sunday night football games are built up, Bucks, Patriots, and Bills, Chiefs last week. And then we have this one just plugged into the 4 o'clock time slot. And yeah, it's undoubtedly the best game of the year so far.
But like the thing that kind of jumps out to me is just like the Chargers are in my mind walking a tightrope with their win probabilities. Like last week, and this is another factor that I'm going to mention, is their rush defense. Their rush defense is really poor. And to Brandon Staley's credit, who is a defensive-minded guy, he immediately or very early on in the second half is like, he came to the conclusion, rightfully so, that they weren't going to stop Cleveland's offense. So he went for it, I think, on 4th-and-2, down 2 scores in the beginning of the third quarter on his own side of the field. Like, he knew it was up. He knew they were going to knife down the field and score at will. They couldn't stop that rushing attack. But they went 3-for-3 on 4th down last week, right? And it's just like, if they don't make one of those 4th downs, the game is over. They're going to lose that game. If they don't make that one where they're on their own side of the field, Browns go up by 21, and the game's over at that point, right? So it's like, it's like high risk, a high risk, high reward type thing. And if one of these games they go just 1-of-3, or even in last week's case 2-of-3 against on 4th down, they're gonna lose. And like Baltimore, their passing DVOA on offense is actually a lot higher than their rushing DVOA. You know, they have injuries, cluster injuries as their running back, but like Lamar Jackson has thrown the ball phenomenally, and it's not in a traditional sense, so maybe people don't pick it up as fast, but like his ability to improv out of the pocket, or even sometimes in the pocket, throw these weird off-platform throws. And I think the other thing that people are missing out of Baltimore's passing production is the fact that like Marquise Brown has dropped like 2 or 3 touchdowns. Like Lamar Jackson's numbers should be even better. And they're getting a little healthier at wide receiver. They're getting a little healthier on the offensive line, really just on the team as a whole. And like Chargers rushing defense is legitimately like the worst or second worst in the league. And so if that's going to open up Baltimore's, if that's going to mean they're able to run, I think they're going to be able to pass, even though Derwin James is like the perfect guy to have watch Lamar Jackson. I really do think it's like the line is right. There's going to be a lot of people just taking the Chargers because of how good they looked. And like, I'm going to have to suck it up and take the Ravens -3, but they have a sneaky home advantage. I'm going to do it. I'm going to wait as close to kickoff as possible, because honestly, I'll take the money line at -135 before I take -2.5 or -3. That's, I might end up playing the money line, but as of right now, I do like them to cover the points as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. I would wait till closer to kickoff as well. Baltimore is just so tough to go against here, and you nailed it with the rushing offense versus rushing defense being a big factor in this game. And then, yeah, exactly with how the Chargers are winning games. Yeah, they're 4-1, but they could have some real ugly losses if some of those mid-game gambles had gone the other way. A great example with Cleveland last week, and a 5-point win could have been close to a 20-point loss if you fail that conversion and then give up a quick touchdown. Again, when I like Brandon Staley as a head coach, he's great, but it's funny that you mentioned he's a defensive guy coming over. Gets his hands on some analytics, gets his hands on Justin Herbert, and we'll just win games 47-42. That's fine. We won't worry about defense. But yeah, I think Baltimore, although they've also been pretty close again a couple times, the bad breaks with Marquise Brown, as you mentioned, those were in that all too narrow win over the Lions that really should have been a 20-point win as well. So yeah, I think Baltimore is the more consistent team, or the team that's built better to win consistently, at least. And something's going to come back and bite the Chargers here at some point. A tough road game in Baltimore against another 4-1 team is a good spot for that. The Green Bay Packers at 4-1 visit the Chicago Bears, who are one of the more surprising 3-2 teams in the NFL. Another 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Packers 25-22 win at the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime last week. The Bears a 20-9 road win in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Justin Fields looked pretty good. Damian Williams was a good fill-in for David Montgomery. The Packers are a much tougher test than the Raiders, however, and that's why the Packers are -210 road favorites, -4.5 points, -105 odds, +4.5 for the Bears, -115, and +170 on the money line if you're feeling that gamble. 44.5 point total, -112 on the over, -108 on the under. Everyone was up in arms after the Packers' week one shellacking at the hands of the New Orleans Saints. Since then, rifled off four pretty impressive wins, 25-22 win last week. Obviously the least impressive of those, but you know that was a very bad Mason Crosby game that should have ended in regulation many, many times. Packers right in the thick in the Super Bowl hunt at +1,000 as well. It's a tough NFC North divisional game, but plugged into the 1 o'clock slate here. I'm on Packers -4.5 points. Very, very conservative number against a Bears team that, while they won by 11 last week, still need to kind of figure out their proper identity with Justin Fields, as they've kind of had results all over the board since he got the reins in place of Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I'm not going to play a side here, but you just talking about this and hearing your beautiful like intro handicap just set up to this game just like reminded me like I know everyone likes to shit on Matt Nagy. How is this team 3-2? How does he have a winning record over how many years now? Like, I'm consistently just like undervaluing, not respecting the Bears, and they somehow pull these games out. It's ridiculous. Like, it's shocking that you said they're 3-2. They are. They're 3. Like, it doesn't make sense. They beat the Bengals. I don't know. I am on the under here, and is my total of the week. That's on my bet slip here. It's a pros versus Joes game. The pros are on the under. The Joes are on the over. There's been sharp line movement towards the under. It started out at 46. I think it's 44.5 on Tipico, you were saying, and it's 45 consensus. So shop around. It is 44.5 on Tipico. So shop around, but I like it at 45, and I'd play it at 44.5 as well. The Packers, or the Bears have won under in the last four games. Their defense is really good. They've played a really strong schedule of opposing offenses, and there's just enough game film on Chicago's offense for even a below average Green Bay defense to use. They're a bit wounded. No David Montgomery on the backfield for Chicago. And, Justin Fields, he's won a couple games here, but he's not really doing anything, right? He's not throwing the ball well, and he's not really running the ball that well. Both are very slow-paced teams. Green Bay ranks 21st. Chicago ranks 28th in neutral situation pace. Chicago's defense is top 10 in explosive play rate. Green Bay's offense is actually only 22nd explosive play rate. Actually, if you pay attention, which I know you do, but it's a lot of Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams, right? As it should be. But Davante Adams has 61. He's got 61 targets on the season. The next closest Green Bay pass catcher is running back Aaron Jones with 19 targets. So Chicago's defense actually held Davante Adams in check recently. He's only had more than 61 yards in just one of his last four games against the Chicago Bears. Like, they know it's Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams all game, and it's going to work at points, but between Green Bay's defense being able to stop a bad Bears offense, I'm not sure how much we get out of them, and Bears defense being like legitimately good, I like the under 44.5 here.
Yeah, I like that. Very strong. The biggest mismatch in this one for me, though, Packers offensive line has been very good. Third in ESPN's pass block win rate, 10th in run block win rate, and the Bears just aren't really getting a whole lot of stops or pressure in either of those areas. 20th in pass rush win rate and 28th in run stop win rate as well. So yeah, as much as is perennially made about the Chicago Bears defense, hasn't been great. Packers offensive line looking very good. But these NFC North games, Bears always find a way to keep Aaron Rodgers within range, at least until late in the game. So yeah, I think I'm going to take the Packers right now, but not if it gets any bigger than the 4.5.
34-7 cashes. I'll take it.
You know? Yeah. Yep. Cincinnati Bengals at Detroit Lions. Another 1 o'clock kickoff. The Bengals are 3-2. The Lions are 0-5 as they continue to suffer hard luck losses. +155 home underdogs here. The Bengals -190 road favorites, -3.5 points, -110 odds. -110 odds for the Lions to cover +3.5. High enough total here, 47.5, -115, -105 on the under. Lions offense has gotten points. A lot of them have come in garbage time, and then they're held in check quite thoroughly by the Vikings last week, as we touched on in the 1917 road loss. Meanwhile, the Bengals took that 25-22 overtime loss at home to the Packers. And as much as was made about Mason Crosby's blown kicks in that game, you know, the Bengals stayed tied at 22-22 for a long time. They didn't do anything about it either. So, cut the Packers and Mason Crosby some slack. And you know, that's going to be a ding against the Bengals offense that has otherwise looked very, very good so far this year. Even though offensive line, not great, 22nd in pass block win rate, much better, 7th in run block win rate. But the Lions sure don't have the defense to take advantage of that mismatch. So Bengals at 3.5, I think that's a conservative line coming off of a loss, somewhat rare loss for them. And the Lions, you know, they hung tight again last week, but they're still not winning ball games. +3.5 seems very friendly for a team that is still bad and still very much alive to go 0-17.
Yeah, I lean to the Lions 3.5 because there's just not enough football-based logic to support a Detroit bet. But, like, man, I love Dan Campbell, and I feel so bad for him. He deserves a roster he can win with. Did you see they made him cry? Did you see this?
Yeah, I've come around on Dan Campbell, and I agree fully. Like, this guy deserves a talented roster. Like, not only did they bring him in as a new coach, like, they stripped it down and gave him nothing. Like, any veteran receiver they had coming into camp was then cut or got hurt. Yeah, running back situation, they just have way too many bodies that they're trying to feed. Just make DeAndre Swift the guy and go with it. And the defense is just a bunch of cast-offs and not first-round draft picks. So, yeah, I would like to see Dan Campbell as the coach of a middle of the pack roster.
Yeah, it is also suspect that since he's going from a home underdog to a road favorite, granted, you know, they're playing the Green Bay Packers, so it's not like it was mispriced, but I do raise my eyebrows whenever I see a home underdog going to a road favorite the very next week. It makes sense, though. You got a pros versus Joes game, at least at the start of the week. The pros hit Detroit early. The Joes hit Cincinnati early. 4 of Cincy's 5 games have been decided by a field goal or less. So they play these field goal, you know, these tight games. So I could see this one coming down to the wire. And, like, as cursed as the Lions are, like, the Bengals are the AFC Lions. They just have Joe Burrow right now. Like, we saw Cincinnati curse rear its ugly head last week. How many chances do they have to beat Green Bay? They just blew. I mean, so I wouldn't lay it with them on the road, even though, like, all of the football logic backs them. You know, just Detroit has lost, 3 games in absurd circumstances. You know, week 3, you got the Ravens 66-yard game-winning field goal as time expired. Week 4, they were against the Bears. They lost. They were 1-5 in the red zone, had more first downs, had more time of possessions, or more time possession. The game was a lot closer than the 24-14 final score indicated, and they should have beat the Vikings last week. The head coach literally was crying at the end because he was so pissed off, and it was such a, just a terrible loss, which wasn't even probably more heartbreaking than their one against Baltimore a few weeks prior. Also, like the last thing, and again, there's just it's all narrative. I have no real football explanation behind this, but it is a look-ahead spot with Cincinnati. They got, well, week seven. They're playing at Baltimore. So, you know, this is a prime look-ahead spot. So, I'm rooting for the Lions because I'm not going to bet on the Bengals. And Dan Campbell's my man.
Yeah, again, I'm going to ding the Bengals pretty hard for last week. Like, with all those missed Mason Crosby field goals, not only were those misses, but those left the Bengals in pretty good field position to start some drives late in the game and in overtime. And, you know, starting around their own 40 three times and failing to get to the opponent 35 to get their own field goal. I ding them. But the Lions, you know, you can only lose close so many times. And then, like, you just get blown out, right? Like, they're either going to win one of these 19-17 games, 22-20, whatever you want to say it's going to be, or they're going to just get beat 30-14 like everyone expected them to every week coming into the season, right? This could be another big Ja'Marr Chase game, right? Like, the Bengals have the offensive personnel to put up those big strikes on the Lions.
Absolutely. It feels like one of these games, like the Lions are going to play close, they're going to keep playing close, and then one of them they're going to lose like 56-0. Like, just like the complete, like the air is going to be taken out of the franchise, and they're going to be like, you know what? Why try? What's the point? Yeah. Why even try? This is ridiculous. Like, we're cursed. And I mean, the other thing is, and to your point about essentially Cincinnati has to win that game last week is what you're getting at, right?
Yes.
They got to win. And that goes a little bit on Zach Taylor and everyone's questions if that guy is the right guy for the job. And as Joe Burrow continues to look good, those questions are going to get, there's going to be more of them, I think, and rightfully so. And like, that is like the difference between him and a Brandon Staley is the fact that he opted to kick a 50-yarder on 4th-and-1, whereas Staley's probably be like, you know what, Herbert, you get a first down here. And that's the tiny difference. It's a tiny tweak in between these coaches, which actually does make a huge difference. And like, I personally, as I see him line up for that field goal down by or tied in overtime, like, I'm a sucker. I'm not as good as any of these guys. I'm not a football genius. I would have kicked it. I feel him. Like, you can't coach based on a field goal kicker not doing his job. But at the same point, like, the coach has to win that game. Like, they got to figure that out. So, that's the other thing is that, you know, I don't think the Bengals have the right guy, perhaps. So, not gonna bet a home favorite with a coach I'm skeptical on.
Yep, fair enough. On to our next one. The Houston Texans, 1-4, visit the AFC South rival Indianapolis Colts, who are also 1-4. 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Again, the Texans, surprising 25-22 loss to the New England Patriots. They managed to control that game for much of it with rookie third-round quarterback Davis Mills going up against Bill Belichick. The Indianapolis Colts absolutely blew one to the Baltimore Ravens, 31-25 overtime loss on Monday Night Football that everyone got to see. So it's fresh in everyone's minds. And that is why, apparently it's not that much in everyone's minds because the Colts are laying 9.5 points, -112 odds, +9.5 points, -108 for the Texans, +340 for the Texans on the money line. -475 for the Colts, low total here, 42.5, -115 on the over, -105 on the under. The Colts, what are you doing, guys? Carson Wentz, you stink. But this Texans team, much like we just talked about the Lions, they are who we thought they were, right? They got that week one win, now 4 straight losses. A game they should have won last week that turned into a loss pretty quickly. Both teams are ugly. Colts are more talented, came into the seasons with higher hopes. and still a much better defense, particularly 13th ranked, 21st in pass rush win rate, excuse me. So not even good there. But I got to go Colts here. Even though 9.5 is a lot, I think, you know, just a well-coached football team. Even though I'm very much not a Carson Wentz fan, I think, you know, this is a game they need to win big, and they can win big. I'm on Colts -9.5.
It's tough, man. I like the Texans. It's more of a lean, though, just because of my own recency bias. You know, Houston covering against New England, and then Indy choking in week 5. So I don't know. It's not probably the sharpest take here, but Indy is getting a boost in the market because they look good on Monday Night Football against a good Ravens team. But I think that game was mispriced in the first place. And I also will make a pro David Culley argument here. I think Houston fans should be pleasantly surprised, I'll put it that way, with what they're seeing out of their first year head coach, who was not, no one was excited about coming into the season. He outcoached Urban Meyer in a huge way week 1. No biggie. It's Urban Meyer, whatever. Houston looked like they were going to give Cleveland all they could handle before Tyrod exited that game early in week 2 with an injury. He didn't get punked by Bill Belichick last week. In fact, like, they dialed up some unique stuff. I think they hit a touchdown and a flea flicker. So he pulled out all the tricks. They built a double-digit lead. They end up screwing it up. But, like, I don't know. I think he's looked and coached better than the market. And frankly, I thought he would coming in. I didn't really have much of a read on him, and I kind of stayed away on any Culley hot takes. Also, it's not really a sexy topic to talk about. But, like, in the Frank Reich era, which started in 2018 for Indianapolis, they're 10-14-1 against the spread in division games, 4-8-1 against the spread at home in division games. They're 3-7 against the spread as a 7-point favorite or greater, and 0-2 as a 7-point favorite or greater in division games. It's a pro versus Joe's game. Pros are on Houston for whatever reason. There's not a lot of football logic behind it. And the Joes are on Indianapolis, so at least the money side of the column's on Indianapolis. But Indy's defense has the worst red zone DVOA. Houston's defense is 7th in red zone DVOA, so the Colts might settle for a lot of field goals. It's ugly, but I would take the Texans +8.5. I think in Tipico.
Yeah, the Texans are 13th in run stop win rate, and, you know, Jonathan Taylor was a big part of every way the Colts were looking good last week and until late in the game. So, yeah, the Texans do have a path to victory here. I just think Davis Mills looked too good last week. And I don't know. Come on, Carson Wentz, do something. This team shouldn't be 1-4. It's a playoff roster from last year, with the biggest change being an old Philip Rivers to whatever Carson Wentz is. So I'll hold out hope for them for 1 week. Probably the only time I'm going to be on them all year, in truth. The Kansas City Chiefs, 2-3, dropped to third by the Super Bowl odds. +700 is way too low of a number. Chiefs, you know, they're not looking good, and they're not good in many advanced numbers. Their offensive line has been very good. Their new look, rebuilt offensive line, 7th in pass block win rate, 4th in run block win rate. But the defense, just a disaster at every level. 27th in pass rush, 32nd in run stopping. And Washington football team, a dual threat running back in Antonio Gibson, who has been very good, and a very good wide receiver one in Terry McLaurin. And Taylor Heineke, looking okay when he needs to. But anyway, into the actual odds for this game. -300 for the Chiefs on the road, +230 for Washington, +6.5 points, +100 even money, -6.5, -120 is what the Chiefs are laying. 55.5 point total seems very high, -110 on either side. I would like to lean pretty strongly to Washington here, if not for the fear of the Chiefs need to win at some point, right? Like, that's the only thing anyone has about this Chiefs team, is they're too talented on offense to keep losing games and subsequently miss the playoffs. But the defense is horrendous. 38-20 loss in primetime on home field to the Buffalo Bills last week. If you're not going to get a defensive stop there, why are you going to do it at 1 p.m. against Washington?
Yeah, an offense that actually has some pop. I'm with you, man. I put it as a teaser leg. It's come to the slip with me just to get or come to the window with me on my betting slip. I'm going to get the Chiefs below 3. I think right now it's 6.5. It's a square play, but I'm assuming it's going to win just because if the Chiefs lose this game, it's going to be like kind of a disaster, right? Like DEFCON 5 the season turns into, because pretty good division. I mean, the Raiders are coming back down to earth, so are the Broncos, both of which we'll talk about here in a second. But, you know, the Chargers look like the real deal. So Chiefs kind of need this game, and I'll bet them to just win by, you know, 1 point or whatever it is right now, tease down, as long as it's below 3. I don't trust them to cover by margin. I will say, though, which defense's terribleness is more surprising? Kansas City or Washington? Because Kansas City has the worst defensive EPA per play, right? Washington has the third worst. However, one unit was expected to be really, really, really good, and one was expected to be not very good. So, like, to me, yeah. I feel like Washington's defense is, like, more disappointing. And, like, so they're going to have to score to keep up. And maybe the back door is open because Chiefs' defense is so terrible. They all have a whole bunch of injuries. They just got beat up at home. So I'm not going to the window with them to, you know, outright or that -7 or, you know, whatever the line is. But I can't bet Washington with this defense either, because then it's like, oh, yeah, well, because essentially by betting Washington, what you're saying is, yeah, Taylor Heineke is good for 30 points. You know?
Yeah. I mean, not so good expectations for Kansas City's defense. Still a lot better than how they've actually looked. The strength of this Washington defense, disappointing Washington defense, has been in the run stopping. Usually that's a good thing when you can make your opponent one-dimensional, unless that opponent is Patrick Mahomes, right? So with that factor, plus Clyde Edwards-Helaire being out and them being down to Darrell Williams and Jerick McKinnon in the run game, like, maybe that's going to be enough for him to say to Andy Reid, like, hey, dude, let's cut it out with this running stuff. Just let me whip it 50 times a game. You know, Washington not generating a whole lot of pressure on quarterbacks. Pass defense, very, very bad. But Kansas City, at what point do you have to stop relying on how good we know they are because of Patrick Mahomes, when, like, that hasn't mattered? They put up 20 points last week against the Bills defense that lost at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Like, who knows what the Pittsburgh Steelers are now after they got another win last week, but they aren't the Kansas City Chiefs at the best of times.
No.
And Kansas City put up 20 points at home on primetime and, you know, the biggest game of their season. They're tough, but yeah, there is a route to the Chiefs covering 6.5, and that's being forced to keep the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, as much as no one should ever need to be forced to do that.
Right, you are, good sir. I think we're in agreement here.
All right. Longest we've ever talked about a Chiefs game, or at least in quite a while, because, you know, usually don't need to spend a whole lot of time with them, but that's the state they're in. Before we move into the 4 o'clock slate, Tipico Sportsbook, once again, a global sports betting leader, is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. Ages 21 and up. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Again, all of our odds today for these week 6 games are from Tipico Sportsbook. And our first 4 o'clock game on the slate The 5-0 Arizona Cardinals visit the 3-2 Cleveland Browns, 4:05 p.m. kickoff. Cardinals coming off a narrow for them 17-10 home victory over the San Francisco 49ers. The Browns coming off that aforementioned 47-42 thrilling road loss at the Chargers. Couple injuries for Carolina, though. Chandler Jones expected to miss this game, and center Rodney Hudson also in jeopardy. That's why the Cardinals, even though at 5-0, are +140 road dogs. Browns -175 home favorites, -3.5 points, +100, -120 for the Cards to cover, +3.5, 49.5 point total, -115 on the over, -105 on the under. Cards 4-1 against the spread, 2-3 OU. Cleveland 3-2, both against the spread and over under. Both teams right in the Super Bowl hunt, +1200 for the Cards, +1500 for the Browns, even with the two losses. Tough to find much fault in how the offense played last week. Incredible. We know plenty about the run game. Baker Mayfield looked real good as well. Browns team ranks pretty good in the ESPN pass rush run stopping stuff. Second in pass rush win rate, first in run stopping, number one in pass block win rate, and number nine in run block win rate. The Cards' best feature there is a fourth in pass block win rate. Without Chandler Jones, I'm not very worried about their pass rush against a very good Cleveland offensive line. Hopefully it's getting closer to full health. I'm on Browns -3.5 points here. 3-2, a win gets them right back in the AFC North hunt. Whereas the Cardinals, they can afford to take a loss, not that they want to, but again, injuries to two very key positions, particularly for this matchup.
Yeah, I lean Cardinals +3.5. It's not something I'll take to the window with me. I am going to play it in a teaser though. See that it's trading at 2.5 at a lot of books. So if you're in Colorado and New Jersey, be sure to use Tipico Sportsbook because that 3.5 is a big number. Because there's not a lot separating these two teams. I agree that Browns should be the favorite at home. You know, they have a coaching edge. I think the Cardinals have a quarterback edge. I don't think that's a hot take. They do have a quarterback edge. But I'm not sold on Cleveland's defense. Like, that's my thing, is that they're 20th in EPA per play, 30th in third down DVOA, 26 in red zone DVOA. And this could be like a weather game. You know, Cleveland's weather forecast predicting 15 to 16 mile per hour wind. So this could be grounded, a lot of running the ball or you know, like bubble screen, stuff like that, stuff that's more lateral than vertical. And I think Arizona is a little more dynamic. So I'm going to lean to them plus the points, but I'll play it as a teaser leg. This will be my second teaser leg along with Chiefs below 3. I'll put this one above 7.5, actually at 9.5. But the other factor in this one for me is that Cleveland also has a bunch of players questionable or missing practice. Their top three cornerbacks, both tackles, both running backs. Most of these guys, if not all of them, will probably play, but I would just say there's not a lot separating these two teams. So these guys not practicing and being compromised could be a positive factor for Arizona, but it's a tough one that, you know, I'm not going to lose or win a bunch of money on. So.
All right. Next 4 o'clock game, 4:25 PM Eastern, only 3 4 o'clock games this week with the two buys. Las Vegas Raiders 3-2 at the 3-2 Denver Broncos, but both these teams taking their losses in back-to-back weeks coming into week 6. Raiders in the form of a 20-9 home loss to the Chicago Bears last week, and the Broncos steamrolled 27-19 at the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. And then John Gruden's all set of a job. We got an interim head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders, so a team already headed in the wrong direction seems to have gotten a jump start further in that direction this week. Raiders are +160 road dogs, Broncos -200 home favorites, -3.5 points, -112 odds, -108 odds for the Raiders to cover, +3.5, 44.5 point total, -105 on the over, -115 on the under. Good spot for the Broncos to get back on track here, get to 4-2, stay in the AFC West hunt. I don't know how this Raiders team recovers, you know, really this season. from what happened. You know, they looked pretty good at 3-0. You know, take two pretty ugly losses and then also lose your head coach. Whatever that locker room thought of them, they had seemed to have bought in for at least the first three games of the season, first four maybe. Ugly loss last week with him. I think it only gets worse. Broncos team defense has slipped lately, obviously giving up 27 points to the Broncos. Wasn't very good. But I got to go Broncos -3.5 here against a team that just, what are they going to do this week or for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I thought you made excellent points there, and I can't disagree with any of them. The most important one is that Las Vegas, from like a handicap perspective, Las Vegas started to regress before the Gruden news, right? And then with that, like you said, it's just going to nudge them further down a dark football path, we should say. You know, the loss of Gruden hurts the team, in my opinion. Gruden is an above-average NFL head coach, and I didn't get the sense the team hated him. You know, maybe he's a terrible person, but his Raiders tenure isn't marked with, like, inappropriate behavior or poor treatment of the players. Like, I think the locker room liked him. I guess I don't know for sure. They definitely aren't going to like him after the fact, but he's out there now. I can't imagine the interim head coach as an upgrade. That would be crazy dumb luck that the Raiders appear to not have, you know? We are getting to the party a little bit late. This open with Denver at -3. You know, everyone probably should have bet it immediately as the John Gruden news started to trickle out. Like, as soon as that second email came out, like, it was matter of time, hours before he resigned, and that number was going to jump. So I'm actually going to do something I haven't done yet this season. I'm going to put the Broncos money line in a money line parlay with the Cowboys, which we'll talk about in a second. The Cowboys and the Broncos is, like, you got to shop around, but it's +125, the money line of their money line parlay. So that's how I'll play it. I don't think the Broncos have any problem covering the 3.5. I don't know. I feel stronger about this play, and I want to change it up a little bit. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I like that. That's comfortable. And then back to the Raiders quickly. Like, it's one thing when you're a team that's expected to suck, and then you suck, right? And then week 10, week 12, you fire your coach, and then maybe with the new guy, you come out, you get a win, right? You know, a lot of players on that Raiders team probably thought they were a pretty good team. Start 3-0. You're in the AFC West hunt for the first time in more than 3 years. And, you know, you think you have a shot at a wild card spot at least. And then, as you say, regression kicks in. You take two back-to-back losses, and then you get this. And, you know, just deflates the season, what started out with promise. I would say that's more deflating than just being an outright bad team. So I don't have a problem with Broncos -3.5, but the -200 money line is perfect for a parlay, whether it be the Cowboys or elsewhere. The Cowboys, they're 4-1, visiting the New England Patriots, 2-3, 4:25 p.m. kickoff. Patriots, narrow loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then a narrow victory over the Houston Texans at the other end of the spectrum. They go back to the positive end of that with the Cowboys coming off a 44-20 win over the New York Giants. Cowboys 5-0 against the spread, 4-1 against the over-under. I don't know if the Patriots are able to keep up offensively here. This seems like a game that the Cowboys can just outscore them and not worry too much defensively against Mac Jones doing much in garbage time. -3.5 points, -108 for the Cowboys, -112 for the Patriots at +3.5 points, -112 odds. -190 on that Cowboys money line you like, and +155 for the Patriots if you're feeling an upset in Foxborough. 51.5 point total, -112 on the under as the more likely side, deemed by a typical sportsbook. Again, Cowboys -3.5 for me without a whole lot of hesitation.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't hate laying it. I might end up laying it in the Circa Millions or the Circa contest. I'm not sure yet. But I didn't gonna include it in that money line parlay with the Broncos money line. To me, so everyone knows about Dallas's offense. It looks sick. No one, you know, that's not news to anyone. Everyone was saying preseason that like the Cowboys were only expected to go as far as their offense would allow. But to me, their defense still feels underrated. You know, they're ranked 6th in EPA per play and DVOA, 7th in third down defense, 13th in red zone DVOA. And, you know, I think they're motivated. They got a bit of a chip on their shoulder. Their defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, was awesome in Seattle. He had a terrible end of his Atlanta head coaching tenure, but he's motivated to earn some credibility and earn back some credibility. And it looks like he's doing a pretty good job with this Dallas defense that has talent at least. Also, I think Dan Quinn versus Bill Belichick is somewhat analogous to a handicap or a theme that I've brought up here in the past, which is like running quarterbacks versus quarterbacks with sneaky speed. So in those spots, sometimes I'll take the quarterback with sneaky speed or the less mobile quarterback to go over the rushing props because they're probably looking at it as like, hey, this everyone thinks this guy can run. I can run too. So like, I think Dan Quinn is amped to show that he's not a complete dweeb defensively against Bill Belichick and, you know, going against a rookie quarterback with pretty limited weapons and a Patriots offense has looked pretty terrible. I think this defense is going to show up. So it's like a secret play in between all of us. You're not going to catch it in the time code. Actually, I do like under 23.5 Patriots team total, which is -120 at Tipico. They've only scored 25 twice. Once was in week 2 against the Jets. They had a +4 turnover differential. And the other time was last week where they squeaked past the Texans, which really aren't good on any side of the football, by a field goal. So they were at 22, got to 25, the field goal in the final 15 seconds. Again, I like the Cowboys and my money line parlay because they have an epic, epic mismatch in the run blocking, and they're going to be able to do whatever offensively. But I like their defense here too. So, picking the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like that. And as an add-on there, anyone playing daily fantasy this week, I'm on Cowboys defense there. Like you say, we had some Mac Jones garbage time here, and we can get some late Cowboys scores. I don't see the Patriots getting a backdoor cover if the Cowboys are able to get out to that lead, as everyone, including Typical Sportsbook, is expecting. Sunday Night Football. Two teams that are tough to figure out this year. Seattle Seahawks 2-3 at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are also 2-3, 8:20 p.m. kickoff. 26-17 loss for the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football against the Rams. 27-19 home win for the Steelers over the Broncos last week. Seahawks are 2-3 against the spread, 1-4 over under. Steelers, exact same records, 2-3 ATS, 1-4 OU. Seahawks are +180 road dogs here. That one win doing a whole lot for the Steelers, -230. Forget about how bad they were for three straight weeks, I guess. +4.5 points, -108 odds for the Seahawks, -4.5, -112 for the Steelers. 42.5 point total, -108 on the over, -112 on the under. Are the Steelers back?
I don't have much to say about this game. This sucks. It would have been a pretty interesting matchup because I do think Pittsburgh's defense is nasty, right? I mean, it's been on or off the past couple of weeks, but Geno Smith, all the sexiness of this game is ruined. He looked pretty good in the second half last week, but they were in effort mode. They were down. They needed him to come back and get in the back door, have any shot of winning. And I don't know. I don't really take much of what he did seriously last week. You know, Pittsburgh, they're in a tough division. They need this win. I think they're just going to kind of squash Geno Smith. That's my takeaway. But like Pittsburgh and Big Ben, just so whack offensively that I'm not crazy about laying the points with them. Maybe come Sunday night, I'll sprinkle a little bit on Steelers or under Seahawks total win, total points, but this game, I don't know, just sucks. I don't really have much else to say than that. I mean, yeah, not excited.
Under 42.5 looks good. I mean, maybe wait until Sunday night. Hopefully you get some public money thinking these are still two good franchises and you get some, you know, common viewers putting money on the over. But yeah, I think the only play here is 42.5. You certainly can't trust the Steelers to lay 4.5, regardless of who the other quarterback is.
Yeah, I could just see the way I could see it going over is like Big Ben losing Jamal Adams in the blind side and him just lighting his ass up and getting like a strip sack fumble. And then like the defense could definitely score on Seattle's offense, Pittsburgh's defense. So, but I'm with you. It's probably like the under is probably a good play. It's just like, ugh, these teams suck. This matchup, yeah. It's because this matchup on paper, when you look at it preseason, is like, hell yeah. And now it's just like, ugh, whatever.
Yeah, the only fear for me in the over is just like alternating pick sixes late in the game when either Ben Roethlisberger or Geno Smith tries to lead a game-winning drive and just constantly tosses it up. Yeah, moving on from that one then. A little bit better on Monday Night Football, 4-1 Buffalo Bills, 3-2 Tennessee Titans. Monday night at 8:15 p.m. Eastern, Bills coming off that very convincing 38-20 road win over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The Titans, a 37-19 road win at the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, bit of a letdown spot for the Bills, I suppose, off of a monumental win, or maybe that win just showcases to everyone how good they are. They're -5.5-point favorites in Tennessee, -110 odds on either side. +190 for the home upset by the Titans, -240 money line for the Bills, 54.5-point total, -115 on the under, -105 over. The Bills, -5.5, they've looked fantastic for 4 weeks. I was on the Chiefs last week on Bet Slippin' Podcast, took that loss. I thought that could be a letdown for Buffalo after three very convincing wins against bad football teams. Maybe the Chiefs are a bad football team, but Bills beat them quite convincingly. Tennessee, yeah, they beat Jacksonville by 18, but you know, Buffalo Bills, clearly a different contest. And you know, really the team that Tennessee should be measuring itself against, it's come up short year in, year out in those matchups, though. I got to go Buffalo -5.5.
I hear you. I lean Titans, you know, but Buffalo was awesome. Buffalo was my pick to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Obviously, I've done nothing to change my opinion of them thus far, and I even predicted them to struggle in week one. So I feel like I'm pretty on top of Buffalo. I leaned to them last week, but I ended up flipping in the Chiefs just because it's like, you know, I was scared of Reed and Mahomes, but this just feels like a market high for Buffalo and a market low for Tennessee. They were 2.5 in the preseason line. Now it's up to 5, 5.5. Everyone's betting Buffalo. And really, you got to ask, how bad were Tennessee's losses, right? They got routed by the Cardinals in week one, which was kind of an embarrassing loss, especially when you look at the final margin. But like, you can at least say Arizona definitely looks like a top 3 to top 5 team. Week 4 loss to New York. It's embarrassing, for sure. The New York Jets, right? But they were missing their two top wide receivers and two of the top 25 wide receivers in the NFL. Like, everyone understands that if the Titans are going to be good, like, their offense needs to be sick and those wide receivers need to be on the field. So while it is embarrassing losing to the Jets, I'm not going to completely trash them for it. They are getting healthier. Julio is back at practice. And I think Tennessee's offense should have success because PFF actually gives Tennessee's offensive line the second biggest edge of the week 6 slate in run blocking. So I think Tennessee's is going to have success on the ground. So I think the back door could be open. I think that, you know, they could trade scores, and 5.5 is too much at home. And like you said, like, it is kind of a measuring stick game for the Titans, right? So I think everyone's looking at the Bills, rightfully so, as the bullies of the AFC. So it's a huge game, and I just think there's a lot more value in the underdog in a primetime spot. So, but it's tough picking against the Bills, I'll tell you that.
All right, and that's why I'm on the Bills -5.5. As I said, we get to close up here and get to the window.
Yeah, let's wrap this one up. This is going to be Eston's final go into the window segment, but this is where we wrap up the podcast with our best bets.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go into the window.
Last week, I was 1-4-1 in my best bets. I'm 13-11-2 on the season, so a little on, a little off, but hopefully I can be on this week and make us some money. I'll go with my sides first before I turn over to Essen for his sides and or full slip, but I'm going with the Vikings money line -120. If it gets any higher, I'll just lay the points, but there's some split action, so I'm not really sure where this line goes. Just take the Vikings money line right now. I also like the Texans +8.5, and I'm going to do the money line parlay with the Broncos and the Cowboys money lines. Those are the sides I'm going to give out today. What do you got for your sides, Eston?
I can't be held accountable for any of these picks since I'm not going to be here last week, as you've mentioned.
Free rolling.
Thank you again. So keep it pretty tight, but go Browns -3.5. We'll go Chiefs -6.5 and Bengals -3.5. And yeah, I like Broncos -3.5, but I think I'll probably play it safe, or a little bit safer at least, and just toss that -200 into a couple other parlays with those other picks just to kind of boost the odds.
Gotcha. My one total this week is Packers Bears under 44.5. Bears defense has done pretty good against the Packers, at least the last two meetings. They've held Davante Adams in check, and the rookie quarterback Justin Fields should continue to struggle against Green Bay. I also have 1 6-point teaser doing Cardinals above 7.5 right now. You can get it above 9.5, and I'm doing the Chiefs below 3. I think right now, if you teased it, you can get it down to Chiefs -0.5. So just Chiefs win, Cardinals to keep it in single digits. That's my bet slip. Do you have anything else to add, Eston?
No, that's good for me. We'll try to close it out with a couple winners, and yeah, you can let me know what those picks did this week.
Well, compadre, it was a blast doing this podcast with you over the past couple years. I know me and the rest of the Sportsbook Wire family are going to miss you, miss your wisdom. I'm going to try to get you back on this podcast eventually, especially to talk some golf, because you're pretty much the sharpest guy I know in golf. Where can people, the listeners, the fans of this podcast, follow you to, you know, find your, get the latest updates on your professional life, your personal life, your gambling life, whatever you're willing to share on social media?
At Eston McLaren, ESTENMCLAREN on Twitter. Yeah, more to come in that regard, career-wise, and you know, keep pumping out golf picks, and you know, hockey season. We're into the second day of NHL action Wednesday. So, yeah, as the season goes, we'll get more involved on that front as well.
Hell yeah! Oh, real quick, give us one hockey future that you're into.
I like the price for the Dallas Stars, man. They went to the Stanley Cup final 2 years ago. Disappointing season last year with a whole lot of injuries. They are at Typical Sportsbook +2,000 to win the Cup this year. Those are the seventh best odds, or share of the seventh best odds. I like that number. Obviously, you got to go through Colorado at +480, Tampa Bay at +600, Vegas at +650 at all. But Dallas +2,000 is kind of the first real value. The Florida Panthers are a popular pick at +2,000 as well. But I don't like that. It's a big jump for them. Dallas is a team that was there very recently and can get back there pretty quickly with a healthy roster that's the same as it was 2 years ago in at least the primary areas.
All right. And again, follow this man at Eston McLaren on Twitter for all these wisdom, these nuggets about hockey, about golf, just sports betting in general. We're going to miss you, buddy. I'm going to miss you. Do us a favor, subscribe, like, follow, rate this podcast. Well, do me a favor on wherever you get these podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. Show some love to our website, sportsbookwire.usatoday.com, by simply visiting and reading our daily handicaps. Till next time. Peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.